Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are going to consider for a few minutes the regular office of the Word of God in His church, because that is really what the story of the rich man and Lazarus is all about. It is about those who gladly hear and learn the word which they hold sacred, and they will let no adversity, no trouble derail them from their hope in the Lord. Such people are represented by Lazarus. Lazarus had many reasons in the flesh to despair. His life was a mess. He was dumped off at the rich man's gate, and he was full of sores. Dogs came and licked his wounds, and all he desired was to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And yet, true to his name, Lazarus, which means he whom God helps, Lazarus would not be shaken from his faith in God, in the Word of God, and his hope of eternal salvation in the truth of the Lord. On the other hand, we see the rich man, who was undoubtedly a pillar in his community. He may even have been a seriously well-respected religious leader. We don't know. But he fared sumptuously every day, and he was dressed in the finest of clothing. Now, it came to pass that the beggar died. Lazarus died. And he was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, which means that he was given a seat of honor at the heavenly table in fellowship with all those who died in the true faith. Lazarus, his sufferings, his pains, his tears, and his waiting are all things in the past. And now he is in paradise, and he is at rest and at peace in the presence of God and in fellowship with those who died in the faith of God from the time of Abraham, even before Abraham, all the way through to the present time. So Lazarus is saved. And the glory that Lazarus now had in the text was something so great that all of the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with. So Lazarus didn't have to go through a period of time of decompression as he kind of overcame the traumatic stress syndrome of life in this world. No. He went from the weeping and the sorrow and the suffering, the veil of tears, immediately into the paradise of God, where there is fullness of joy. But that's not the last word. Because the paradise where the soul of Lazarus rested in the bosom of Abraham is a glorious but temporary residence as he, with all the faithful, await the last day, the parousia, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of our bodies, and the inauguration of the new heaven and the new earth. So paradise is a wonderful thing, but it is a foretaste of the glory to be revealed when the kingdom of glory is fully revealed at the resurrection of the dead at the end of the world. So Lazarus is safe in paradise with all the faithful. The rich man died and he was buried, and he probably had a banger of a funeral. They were probably talking about his funeral for months and months afterward. It was probably magnificent. And his tomb was probably a magnificent, specially prepared for just this occasion, spotless and gleaming white. But the rich man opened up his eyes in hell. And in hell, now, you know, a lot of people like to imagine that Jesus was not really about hell. But it's interesting to note that when you read the Bible, Jesus warns about the sufferings and torments of hell more than anybody else in the whole Bible. And here in this story, he says that in hell, the rich man opened his eyes being in torments. So he is being tormented in hell. And not only that, he is fully aware of what he, by his own fault, has missed out on. He lifted up his eyes and he sees Abraham and Lazarus afar off. But because those who are in hell never repent of their sin, they ever remain in the impenitence and unbelief in which they die, he still thinks of Lazarus as a flunky to be used for his purposes. And so he cries out to Father Abraham and he says, "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." It's not bad enough that he is tormented in the flames of hell, but he wants Lazarus to endure the flames of hell just to give him a drop of water to cool his tongue. Right? So these are not the words of a penitent believer, someone who is sorry for their sins. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus likewise evil things. Now he is comforted and you are tormented." So essentially what Abraham says is no, right? No. And he says, besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who would go there from here can't, and those who could come from there to here can't. There's no way that it can happen. Then he said, "All right, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house." And here's where the point of the parable really begins to come into the clear light of day. He says, "Send him to my father's house, because I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He says, send Lazarus to my brothers so he can scare the hell out of them. That's what he wants, right? That if a ghost from the dead appears to them and scares them straight, then they won't end up coming here. So he wants a little witchcraft, a little occultism, right? And Abraham says, and here is the message of the Lord for all of us to consider, all right? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What Abraham says is, they have the Holy Scriptures and they have the regular public preaching and teaching of the Holy Scriptures, of the Bible truth. They have the Word of God regularly ministered publicly for them to hear and to benefit from, right? This is what got Lazarus into heaven. Lazarus had every earthly disadvantage, but he had the Word of God. He held God's word sacred, and he gladly heard it and learned it. And therefore, he was faith-filled, and his hope was immovably fixed upon the help of the Lord. And the help finally came as he was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, just as the Word of God teaches. Now the Word of God was powerful enough and able enough, even though it was preached by fallible human beings, it was powerful enough to save the soul of a man who had every reason to be in despair rather than in hope. And so if the Word of God could save Lazarus, it is capable of saving anyone, all right? The Word of God is quick, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's word is the power of God unto salvation for all that believe. And therefore, Abraham says to the rich man, they have the Holy Scriptures. They have the regular public ministry of the Word of God. Let them attend to that. Go to church. Let them go to church and hear the Word of God. Now listen to what the rich man says, and you understand in a moment why he is in hell. He says, nay, Father Abraham, not that. Oh, and oh no, not another sermon. Oh, I gotta go to church, sit through another one of those long sermons. What does it all mean anyway? Who knows if any of it's true? And that guy annoys me. He's got those vocal tics. He has those little ways of talking that just irritate me. Nay, Father. Abraham. Not that. Not going to church. Not hearing the word of God. Nay, Father Abraham. But if somebody went to them from the dead, they will repent. Boo! If somebody scares them straight, then they'll repent. If something really stupendous and interesting and fascinating happens, they will repent. And Abraham dismisses him with a word, and it's a word that points to Christ. He says, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, if they will not listen to the regular preaching, teaching, reading, and studying of God's word, neither will they be persuaded even though someone rose from the dead. Jesus here in the parable is referring to his own resurrection from the dead. And he says that those who did not believe the word of God, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they gave the word of God lip service, but they did not believe it, because if they believed Moses, they would have believed in Jesus Christ. The fact that they didn't believe in Jesus shows they didn't really believe Moses and Isaiah and David, even though they paid great lip service to them, right? He says, if they will not hear the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, if they will not listen to that, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. Now, Jesus rose from the dead, and his resurrection from the dead is God's exclamation point, God's stamp of approval on every word that Jesus ever spoke, every claim about himself that Jesus ever made, and every promise that Jesus ever gave. Everything is the God-honest truth. And the resurrection is God the Father's stamp of approval, so that when you hear that Jesus is risen from the dead, the only response is, then he is the Son of God, just like he said he was. Then he is the Redeemer of the world, and my sins are forgiven. I have everlasting life, and God loves me and accepts me for Christ's sake. And when I pray, he hears me, and Jesus has prepared a place for me in the mansions of glory. All of it is true because Jesus rose again from the dead. But you see, those who will not listen to the regular ministration of God's word, the Holy Scriptures, they will not be persuaded though one rose again from the dead. So, Lazarus did not go to heaven as compensation for his tough life. He had a tough life, and he was definitely rewarded for his patience. But he was saved because his hope was in the word of God, which cannot fail. The rich man, even though he was highly regarded by all of his neighbors, although he was probably a pillar in his community, he died and he went to hell. Not because he was rich, not because he was extravagant, but because he despised the regular preaching and teaching of God's word, the Holy Scriptures. He despised the word of God and would not receive it, would not let it change him. And so he remained in his sins. And though his funeral was magnificent, when he opened opened up his eyes, he was in hell, and he was tormented in the flames. But we let him go, and we focus on Lazarus, he whom God helps. May we also be Lazaruses, he whom God helps, she whom God helps. Let us be those who, despite the troubles, tribulations, and sufferings of this life, we cling to the word of God and will let nothing come between us and the hearing and believing and trusting in the word of the living God in Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.